This is the TRT Community Podcast, where we discuss all things testosterone.
What's going on, guys? My name is Brandon. I am founder of the TRT Community, host of All Things Testosterone. The TRT Community is the world's largest social media-based support group for men and women undergoing or considering undergoing hormone replacement therapy. So come join us over at Facebook at facebook.com/groups/TRT Community. Right now I'm trying to get logged into Zoom. We've got a Q&A scheduled with Kenny, the founder of Matrix Hormones. My computer just turned off. Probably a dead battery. Cool. So, what we do, I said we're a support group. Basically, what we do is we help connect, well, we provide information to guys and gals considering or already undergoing TRT community, because as you may know, if you're listening to this podcast, it can be a complicated issue. It's hard to find a doctor that knows what they're doing. There's a lot of information that you need to know. There's a lot of time and dedication that comes in or that goes into TRT therapy. So what we that we do is connecting guys and girls with doctors that know what they're doing. If you're interested in finding more information or finding a doctor, you can check out www.testosteronepodcast.com. And we have a clinic finder. We've got quite a bit of information up on the site, all kinds of good stuff. So today, like I mentioned on the show, we've got Kenny Marple, founder of Matrix Hormones. I'm going to kick it off today. We've got some questions that the TRT community wants answered. So we're going to chat with him for a little bit and get some of these TRT-related questions answered. Kenny.
Hey, Brandon. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good. Another beautiful day in paradise. How about up there?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Sunny and 80 degrees.
I think we were sunny in about 90 or about 90, 88, somewhere in there. So it was nice.
Very cool.
Have you been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. This prop blend is like wrecking my skin. I'm getting these whelps all over the place. I'm not complaining about it yet. I can deal with it, but I've been surprised at how my body's reacting to it. Is that normal?
Some people can react to that with propionate, but more with propionate, it's the injection site.
Yeah.
Not really. So it's the injection site.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's remember we were talking about that. And I think you said, well, I did something similar. I did something else, but yeah, it can make lumps, bumps, burn, sting, pain. Yeah, definitely.
Lots of lumps. I did my first, I don't know if I'd call it an intramuscular injection, but I went to my quad for the first time last night in, gosh, it's probably been 4 years since I've injected my legs, but I can feel it now. It's a little bit painful.
Yeah. I told you, I had some guys like, don't, no, get me off. Yeah.
I'm running out of room. I don't have anywhere else to stick that's not already sore.
Cause they also make a cypionate propionate blend in grapeseed oil. And then South Lake Pharmacy has a cypionate enanthate propionate 40-40-20 in MCT oil.
Okay.
So those are another options, because usually when you drop that propionate to 20%, 80% less of what you're going to get right now, you're usually okay.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, how, I mean, what is it that causes those kind of reactions in propionate more than any of the others?
Well, it's that particular ester when you're, and you know, the thing is you're giving small amounts. Can you imagine the guys that do one CC at a time, right, or half CC at a time? Yeah. It's when it absorbs into your body, the reaction, but also the pH. You'll have some pharmacies tell you, oh, the particular pharmacy that's making that one, the pH is more off than another one. They don't care about the pH. And then you'll have another pharmacy says, oh, that doesn't matter. pH does matter, and it matters in individual people and individual areas that you're injecting. Yeah. So I don't think it's the ester as it is the balances, the oils, and all of those other things.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was kind of surprised by it. Mm-hmm. All right, I got a list of questions, a TRT community member questions for you. Let's just jump right into them.
Head first.
Number one, is there any objective testing for low libido?
100% sure when they refer to objective what they mean, but there is no you know, a test that tests for low libido. That's a symptom of something. So there's some different lab work that you run, you know, testosterone, prolactins, and things like that. That's usually your main culprit that's going to cause your low libido. But a lot of guys don't realize there's other things that can be off in us that, that causes that. Say you have a thyroid and B12 issue. You're always tired. You're always down. You're always moody. We usually don't have a good libido or in the mood when we feel that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, DHEA can make us more irritable and moody and things like that. So there's some other numbers in there. You look at several numbers and you kind of check off your boxes as you're going through fixing all of those to make sure they all look good.
So more like there's a ton of different labs that you could be looking at and indicators that you could be looking at, but there's not like, hey, I'm going to order a libido test.
I wish there was. Our life would be easy, man. If you come up with that, you're rich.
Okay. Question two. Do you prescribe testosterone and anthate?
Yes. It comes in sesame oil and a grapeseed oil.
Easy enough. What do you do if anastrozole doesn't lower your estradiol?
Anastrozole is pretty powerful stuff. If it's not lowering that estrogen, that usually means the anastrozole is not strong enough or whatever you're taking is too much.
Yeah.
Now, if you say, well, I'm taking testosterone and my levels are only 700 and I'm taking, you know, 1 milligram of anastrozole and my estrogen is still 100, I never ran into it. So, you know, I don't know. But there is other estrogen blockers. There's tamoxifen, which I don't care for very much. Letrozole is the more powerful version of anastrozole, but that's only supposed to be taken short term. Some people who, you know, certain bodybuilders and things that screw themselves up, estrogens get super, super high. You don't want to pile on 10 milligrams of anastrozole. You start out with letrozole, bring it back down, get a little closer to normal, then finish it off with the anastrozole and get rid of that letrozole.
Would that be... when you say 10 milligrams, is that something that a bodybuilder might see them take at some point, that much?
Unfortunately, yes. Gosh. So that's why, you know, and you've heard me say this about anastrozole, we're all different. Some of the research there's only parts of the research being set out there. Hey, anastrozole causes this, but you didn't read what they were doing with that type of thing. But bodybuilders are, for me personally, I know a lot of providers, clinic, oh my God. But they're a good example of what not to do, but what can our body tolerate?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take massive amounts of anastrozole, letrozole, and mix them tamoxifens, which tamoxifens and anastrozole kind of neutralize each other. But, and you know, you don't see these guys dropping dead left and right. Well, you do see some of the big ones in the 40s and 50s with heart attacks and stuff, but that is not as much the anastrozole as their heart enlarges from the amount of steroids.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I'm not advocating anastrozole. So I just want to say that. I was just saying it's not, you know, you hear people say, if you take that, you're going to drop dead. You have other people say, I've taken it for years. It saved my life.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't think is it as bad as it's been represented, but you still want to try to avoid any medication you can by doing things the right way.
Great answer. And you answered my follow-up question was, you've never seen anastrozole not work, right? I mean, that's kind of crazy. It sounds crazy to me to think that a drug that is that potent would just not.
The only time I didn't see it work is when I was trying to deal with a bodybuilder on getting off of stuff. And he was on, you got to remember when we do our testosterone levels, we're trying to get between 800 and 1200. These guys, 5, 6, 7,000, taking, you know, Deca and Nanovar and all these other things with it. It's like anything, you're trying to find the balance to take it down, but you know, the amount of things you have to take to counterbalance just sometimes isn't worth it.
Yeah.
But I have the highest I've seen a bodybuilder taking is 10 milligrams a week.
Jeez.
Exactly. Now that I would say is just crazy.
Yeah. So. Next question is 8 liters of water per day too much?
I would say yes. That's a lot, of water. You know, you hear drink a gallon of water. For some people, a gallon's not necessary. It's too much. You got to remember all that water can deplete your electrolytes. Believe it or not, have you ever heard of a horse drinking too much water and dying?
You're in Texas.
I don't know if you heard of that.
No.
Yes. Believe it, when a horse is extremely thirsty, you have to control them. They could drink so much, they actually can do damage to themselves and kill themselves. But that in humans, yes, you can get too much water, and that's way too much water. There's no, unless you're sitting in a sauna all day sweating it out for some reason, there's no reason for that much water.
Would you say like half that amount?
Yeah, you're looking in the gallon range, usually about 96 to 128 ounces is usually more than enough for most people. But, you know, it goes to, you got an athlete sweating all day, you know, some different variables. But I've never saw a study, research, or encountered anybody that needed that much water.
Yeah, okay. Is sub-Q tissue more sensitive to different testosterone esters and blends, I guess, versus an intramuscular deal?
Not really, except with the propionate. We were just talking about propionate in the pH balances in some of these. Sometimes it's not the ester as much as it's the pH balance, but oils. Oils definitely can affect the different MCTs, sesame, grapeseed, cottonseed can affect it. I want to say for cipionate and enanthate, virtually no difference. The propionate maybe slightly, but I don't think it's nothing too noticeable. If you're getting pain from one of these injections, it's usually the oil, you know, something that's really off or you just doesn't agree with you.
Yeah. So would you, is it safe to say that somebody like myself that's never really, I mean, I've always been able to do sub-Q and tolerated it well. Mm-hmm. The propionate is giving me trouble. Is it safe to assume that I'm going to have the same trouble just deeper in my body if I did it IM? Like it's not that I'm doing it sub-Q, it's the actual ester, that's the oil that's causing it. So it's going to happen no matter where I inject. I just may feel it more or less, or see it, I guess, more or less, depending on sub-Q versus IM.
Correct. You know, the more you give a product, of course, like we were talking about, some guys take a full CC compared to, you know, a quarter, you're going to feel a bigger difference because of the amount. Now, I will say if you took that syringe and you pushed down on it, you made it a little deeper. Like if you had a half inch, pushed down and you made it 5/8, you're going deeper, whether it's in the fat or it's in the muscle, you're giving it more tissue to spread out in. When you're on the top side of the surface, it's kind of ball up a little more. Mm-hmm. It might cause you a little more issues. So sometimes pushing down on that syringe to go a little deeper could help when you're doing the smaller amounts.
Okay. Makes sense.
That was directed at you.
Yeah, I could try that. Uh-huh. How much does your average matrix hormone patient pay per month?
Per month?
Yeah, just a guy that's getting, you know, testosterone. Or I guess, what is your average patient? Yeah.
It depends on the dose, but I would say, you know, most patients are between 150 to 200 milligrams of testosterone. So I think it breaks down to about $75 to $90 a month for that.
Perfect. Is there a best diet to pair with TRT?
That's opening up.
Some of these questions are just impossible to answer.
Yeah. For most part, if you're looking for a true diet, losing weight, high protein, low carbs, and low sugars. You know, if you're a guy who's a bodybuilder, you can't be without carbs 100%, or you need to be on, it's a keto style that they do very well on. But keto can do damage to the kidneys and be stressful on the body, especially long term. But going low carb and low sugar, I think for anybody, for any reason, is good for you. Because of all the things that come along with that. So a higher protein. And when I say carbs and sugars, you got to remember there's vegetables and fruits that have that in there. Those are complex, totally different animal. So if you're eating carrots and green beans and getting in some of those carbs, totally different than eating a bunch of pasta. Yeah. Or cake and sugars and things like that. Now, if you sat there and said, well, I'm going to eat bananas all day, I had a ton of glucose in it. That's too much. Right. So it's finding that right balance. But I would say, for the most part, most people, low carb, low sugar, more complex carbs with higher protein.
Isn't there a way to really it should just be as simple as if it's a green vegetable, it's going to have carbs and it's fine. But doesn't fiber like counteract those? Like, isn't there something to do with the fiber in measuring the carbs? I did keto years ago and I seem to remember, like, you can have the carbs as long as there's like each gram of fiber takes away so many carbs or something like that.
Net carbs. It's a net carb calculation. That's also a little bit of an argument. Usually in the beginning, it's the total carb nothing, just bring down the carbs. Then you start switching over to those net carbs. That's where the fibers comes in and things like that. Most vegetables are lower in carbs, the green beans and things like that. That you'll see being getting eaten. You know, if you're looking at net carbs too, sweet potatoes. Being a little bit of sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes is actually one of the only foods that tells your glucose levels to go down. Cinnamon is another one, which put cinnamon on there is great, but it's also very complex carbs. And whenever you have a complex carbs with the fiber and you mix in protein, even better, because you absorb even less of those complex carbs.
Okay. Okay. I'll give you a softball question now. It's been 2 weeks and my testicles are shrinking and they hurt. What can I do?
It's been 2 weeks and my testicles are shrinking. Are you saying he's on testosterone?
For 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. I just thought it was just been 2 weeks and they hurt. I don't know. So if he's on testosterone and that's happening, my first question to him is, are you using HCG? When you use testosterone, it shuts down your natural production. Everybody's different. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 2 months. The testicles can shrink. It could be nothing. It could be 90%. You can get tightness and pain. Some people do or don't. As you keep going in this, I would say upwards of 70% of the patients will experience some type of sexual side effects from that atrophy and that die-off. Everything from ED, low libido, erectile dysfunction, delayed orgasms. Some guys, it's even affected their mood or energy, but it's usually mostly centered around the shrinking testicles, tight testicles, and those sexual side effects. So if you're not using HCG, I would say get on it. If you are using HCG, I would say up the dose. And then from there, you know, check your supplier, make sure it's a good supply. It's the date's good. You didn't leave it out and let it get warm, things like that.
Sure. Okay. I have a headache after my first injection. Did TRT cause this?
I would tell you to take a second injection and let me know.
Establish some kind of pattern.
Yeah, it's a little too early on to say. If you just took one injection and got a headache, maybe. But then I'd ask you, how much did you take? Are you taking a full 1 cc? You know, start at a lower dose. But the thing is, does it happen again, that you see a pattern for it? Could have just been a bad day. Could have just been your body with the first shot. But what I've noticed for most guys, if they're doing it once or twice a week, that's when you have higher incidences of that. The body, some guys are just sensitive. Sometimes it's just too quick, too much at one time, yeah, even in one shot, and can cause that.
Okay. Will TRT relieve my joint pain?
It's a yes, no question. And the reason for that is, testosterone does promote healing, so it could help there. But the real thing is, testosterone raises our pain threshold, our nervous system and our pain threshold. So even if I didn't fix your knee at all, you would feel the pain less because you have a higher tolerance for it. Really? So it can promote healing and it can raise, you know, that pain threshold. I don't know if you ever see people, oh, I got on testosterone, I feel so much better. They go to the gym and they blow something out. They didn't fix the problem. They just didn't feel it as much.
Okay.
So it can, to a certain extent, and help with the healing. There's other things if you're on testosterone that's specific for that, like nandrolone decanate, that can be blended if you're on testosterone, that helps with joints greatly. And then if it's not only joints, but some tissue issues or tissue tears, pulls, surgeries, there's oxandrolone, which a lot of people know it as Anavar, but oxandrolone is the medical name for it. Mm-hmm. That is very good for those more muscle tears and things like that. Deca will help with muscle tears and tissue regeneration, but it's more for the joints and inflammation, putting fluid in those joints, where the oxandrolone is the opposite of the Deca, where it mainly is the tissue and secondary the joints.
Okay. So I've got two questions that are my personal questions now, last two questions. I didn't provide these to you ahead of time, so if you want to take them away and think about them, that's fine. But number one, they just kind of popped into my head. Okay. Is there a peptide, like a BPC-157, that would help with somebody with degenerative cartilage issues in their knees? Older guy, he's just got no cartilage left. Is that going to do anything for him?
If it did, it'd be very little. There's TB500. Some people know about TB500, usually from a pharmacy, it's thiamucin beta 4. That one, where BPC 157 goes more for tissue type injuries, a little bit on the joints. The TB 500, a thiamucin beta 4, goes more for those type of injuries. Now, it's actually been shown in research where they see it attached, the molecule attached to the injured areas. The only thing is, you mentioned cartilage. You got to remember, as we get older, the cartilage hardens. When we hurt it, it gets worse. So that's the real tough one there. I got torn cartilage in both my knees. I'm still sitting here with, because I refuse to get surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I use different peptides and stuff to help me along. But yeah, that's a tough one if it's the actual cartilage.
And none of the peptides you use are just earth shattering. Oh, this is amazing. Everything's reversing and I feel great. It's just kind of.
For that particular one, no, but there's other people who've had injuries or joint pains that use it or looking for weight loss and muscle that, yeah, they're like, oh, this is amazing, yeah. You know, but it's very patient specific. And, you know, we get some patients like, oh, this is just amazing. Best thing ever. Other patients like, yeah, it was all right. And then I'll have somebody tell me, well, peptides don't work. And I'm really, well, which peptides did you use? Well, this one, this one, this one. I'm like, well, was it a reputable pharmacy? Well, I don't know. I just bought it online. And I'm like, well, you know, those are not legal, and they're for lab consumption, and the sterility of the ingredients, strength, nothing's tested on it. And they're like, but how can they sell it online? I said, because if you read the little disclosure, it says it's for lab use and it's a loophole. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you get what you pay for. And that's why when somebody will say to me, well, why can I find this product 30, 40% cheaper online? I'm like, well, it's an illegal product. You don't know what you're putting in your body, outside of you can get infections and different things because of the sterility. So that's a big difference there. But I would say the two most popular peptides injury rise would be the BPC 157. And then if you're looking for an overall body composition, weight loss, a little bit with that, and also they all boost HGH, would be the CJC Ifamorlin blend. Okay. There's one more that's really expensive that rarely does people get that they know about. It's the Tesamorlin Epamorlin blend. Super expensive. Most expensive one. But it's the one that pushes your HGH the most, or IGF levels when you're measuring. Mm-hmm. It does do injuries very well also, but it's, you rarely see it because it's so expensive.
Okay. I think that's the one that we talked about early on and that I was looking for more information about, and I think that was your response, is it's crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. Last question. Melanotin 2. You heard of it?
I don't know why I've heard of it so much this week. I've had a lot of questions.
It's May. Of course you're starting to hear about it. Yeah. So here's the thing. A guy like myself, I'm a skin type 1. I don't know how good these lights are showing. Skin type 1. I worked at a tanning salon when I was a teenager and still was not able to get a tan. Never has happened. I'm expected to spend a week in the Florida sun this summer. And when I say expected to spend a week, my family, they don't mess around. When we go swimming, before I met them, I'd go swimming at night, first of all, and two, for like maybe an hour. No, this is swimming in the direct sun for like 8, 9, 10 hours at a time. So expected to be on the beach for 8, 9, 10, 12 hours at a time this summer, and I will die. Is melanotin too?
Yeah, you will.
Is that something that, I mean, would I die if I took that?
No. It's a very well-tolerated peptide, but it is one that has a little more incidence of side effects. A lot of these peptides, when you take them, when you first inject, you can get the rapid heart rate, hot flashes, a little nauseousness, dizziness. It usually passes quickly and your body adjusts and it just goes away. That's one that has a little bit of higher incidence of it, but most people, they just adjust and it goes away. But, you know, some people take it just because they don't go out in the sun and they want to tan. It sounds like you're planning well, because we get tourists down here all the time and they're like, I got my 100 SPF waterproof. Wow. And at the end of the day, they're a tomato. Yeah. And they're in the hospital with some poisoning. When you mix our summer sun with the water, it's pretty tough on you.
Yeah.
So that is good planning on, you know, getting that in you, getting the skin protection before coming down here. Still, please use suntan lotion.
Yeah, yeah.
But that definitely could help you. Yeah.
So the sunblock would still help protect my skin, but if I understand it correctly, you don't burn when you're on the melanotan, right? Or maybe you do, but it's a lot more difficult to get
It's a lot more difficult, but for me, I'm looking at it from the other harmful effects.
Right.
It does protect you to a certain extent, but skin cancers and things like that. Yeah. But instead of you walking out there, you know, covered in white lotion, you know, you put some regular suntan lotion on with it, it'd be good to go.
You know, and it's not, you know, the aesthetic of the white lotion that I don't like. It's the fact that, I mean, I could walk outside right now and stand outside for 3 minutes and I could feel my skin start to burn. And it's more of the annoyance of having to apply sunblock all day long, you know, every 15, 20 minutes. And it's not just me. I've got a 6-year-old that's a skin type one as well.
Fun time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would spend our entire vacation out there bouncing back and forth between me and her, and it would be ridiculous. So maybe if I did the injection myself, I could focus all of my energy on keeping mm-hmm. her. And not that I wouldn't wear it either. I'm mm-hmm. I'm not a sunburn fan. I love mm-hmm. sunblock. I always have. So I just thought, I wonder if that's something that could help and, you know, get tan in the meanwhile.
In the process. Yeah. And it definitely can, and it can give you that tan. And, you know, my skin color, I think, is pretty close to your skin color. But I'm a Florida boy. Once you put me back out in the sun, I turn extreme. I just go dark. I don't really get burnt. I just go dark. Now, not the healthiest for me, and I did it a lot when I was young. but put me back in a building where I never leave talking to patients all day, and this is the color I turn again. Yeah. So, I think it's a good idea to do to help protect you and you're not having to worry about taking that stuff on all day. You usually typically... you do it the first 2 weeks, you do it every day, and then you go to 2 to 3 times a week to maintain. You typically will start to see the tanning effect hit at about week 3 or 4.
Okay. And when you start, do you start like 250 micrograms, something like that?
Right in there, that first, yeah, somewhere right in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there's some that will preach you should start at 500 micrograms the first 2 weeks and then go down to the maintenance 2 to 3 times at 250. There's other people say 250. There's some people that push 100 micrograms. I think that doesn't, you know, pay off in the long run. But
what I've read, you know, if you jump in with that 500 off the bat, you're more likely to have the new moles and the darkening of moles and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And the side effect symptoms I mentioned.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you just got to find a happy medium, but I really do think 250 is a good number.
So I actually bought a vial at the end of last summer. I had just met it's my new family, just met them. And after the very first swimming incident where it was like, what do you mean we're going to be here for 12 hours? I can't do this. And they're all half Hispanic. So they've mm-hmm. got it. Yeah. So I bought a vial and it's just been sitting around and I thought I might try this at some point, but now might be the time.
I think so. I don't know when your trip is, but I would definitely prep.
It's not until July.
Yeah. You got time. If you started up here soon, definitely.
Good deal. All right. Cool. Well, that's all we got. I appreciate you coming on.
Sure. Where are you going to be at in Florida?
We're not going into, I think we're going to not Destin, but near Destin or maybe Destin, mm-hmm. somewhere okay. just in the touristy tip of Florida, I guess.
Yeah, it's all touristy. All right. Well, it was really good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye. Oh, I love that guy.
Thank you for listening to the TRT Community Podcast. You can find us online at facebook.com/groups/TRT Community.